singer-songwriter, entrepreneur, Matt Ermey. Are you there, Matt, from Nashville?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you?
Hey, how are you? A lot of times we book the show with a lot of my friends and comrades. I've never met you, but I feel like I know you. I want to set it up a little bit. You're in Nashville. I was down there for the Haggard tribute a couple months ago, and I hear about this record called Out of the Ashes. And the project started with our friend Cowboy Jack Clement. You and I could both talk about him and his influence, you know, on Johnny Cash and Jerry Lee Lewis. So why don't you pick up the story and how you met Cowboy Jack and his history with Sun Records and all that stuff.
Yeah, sure thing. Well, you know, I met Jack because I just one day decided to reach out to him. And I had convinced a woman that ran an independent record company in Nashville who I knew was close with him and had his home phone number to pass it along to me. I had been a fan of his for years and had been watching him and studying him. And one day I just decided to call him up and see if he might want to collaborate. And so I did, and I invited him to be the headliner and the guest of honor at a variety show I was producing downtown. And he answered the phone, and we talked for a minute, and he invited me over to his house. And so I went over there that afternoon, and we hung out for a couple of hours. And at the end of that conversation and that little hangout, he agreed to perform in the show. And then, you know, from that moment forward, we struck up a friendship and ended up making a record together.
Now, for listeners who don't know anything about Jack Clement, who passed away in August of 2013, I went over there and I worked at the Sun-Times here in Chicago. I did a profile on him in 86. I don't know how much the Cowboy Arms Hotel and Recording Spa had changed since 1986. But I think I've read stories about you where you said they, you know, I do remember the shag carpeting. It was just kind of a funky place. But, you know, he worked with Johnny Cash, Charlie Pride. You know, I've got some notes here how he did kind of discover Jerry Lee Lewis over at Sun. I want to talk about that, but I also want to talk about the style of music that came out of there. But yeah, let's give a little Jack Clement 101 for listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, Jack, he got out of the military. He went to work for, he bopped around for a minute. He went to work for Sam Phillips at Sun Studios. And, you know, so the music coming out of the Sun Studios when Jack was working the board as the engineer was, you know, the early Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash. He was involved in discovering Jerry Lee Lewis. You know, they were hanging out on the sidewalk when Jack was heading out one day and they met and Jack took him back in and they started cutting some tracks and the rest is history on that. And then, you know, he did some other exciting things. He went down to Beaumont, Texas and did some work with George Jones on all his early stuff. And like you said, he discovered Charlie Pride. But when he came to Nashville, you know, he did a lot of work with Chet Atkins down on Music Row. And then he started up his own thing over at the studio you just mentioned, the Cowboy Arms Hotel and Recording Spa. And what now today is called the Sound Emporium, which is a big studio in Nashville. It used to be called Jack's Tracks. And he ran Clement Vision TV out of there, as well as a recording studio. And he not only, you know, he produced a lot. He worked with Johnny Cash, you know, Emmylou Harris. He did a bunch of work with John Prine. He was Towns Van Zandt's first publisher in Nashville. He actually recorded Alison Krauss's first record when she was like a teenager at the Cowboy Arms Hotel and Recording Spa. And I know I saw some video footage he showed me of him working up there with Dolly Parton and Porter Wagoner one time. So he had this, and you know, Kris Kristofferson did a lot of work with him. He had a whole host of people, some of the greatest talent in songwriting and country music and rock and roll that we've ever known. Were in his orbit and sort of revolved around him in this way. And it's really fantastic. And they used to call him. Jack gave me an old 1971 Billboard magazine that I still have. The whole issue is about him. And he's on the cover with a top hat on.
With a top hat, yeah.
Wearing his top hat and holding a mandolin. And the title of the issue was Music City's Pied Piper.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that sort of really summed up who Jack was, as a sort of, you know, inspirational visionary that that all of these incredibly talented writers and performers gravitated to. And he was able to elicit and draw so much beauty out of them. That it was truly a magical dude.
You know, I know John Prine, and I know his buddy. I just saw him in Jazz Fest last week, Pat McLaughlin, and and Jim Rooney. And not to get too geeked out on all this, but there was a certain style, kind of a strumming, minimalist style that came out of there. Can you talk about that groove that came out of that studio?
Yeah, you know, Jack, he was such a rhythm-oriented guy.
Right.
And he was a ballroom dance instructor, and so a lot of the things from Jack, it started from this place of, you know, can you move to it? And so there was this really rhythmic thing, and he really had this way of finding what was great about a certain artist and sort of drawing that out of them. And when you talk about John Prine, you know, there's such beauty in his poetry and in his melodies and the way he's telling his stories and laying all that down, that, you know, putting that nice rhythm and that nice mattress underneath with the music was something that Jack was really able to bring out. And not only in that music, in John's, but a lot of others. And if you listen to the Cowboys record, you know, it's really heavy on the rhythm, and even the melodies are real rhythmic. And it was just sort of this train, like, energy and a lot of music that he produced.
So you do a record with him. We're going to go up to the record now. You do this record, and there's a fire. So talk about, I mean, the Nashville scene, when I was down there, they said it was, you know, one of the most impressive records to come out of Nashville in the last decade. You're out of the ashes. So you do the record, pick up the story.
Well, we did a show. I had cold called him, and then we ended up doing the show together, and that was in November of 2010. And the next day, Jack asked me to come over to his house, and he walked me upstairs to his studio. So that was the first time that I got to see the Cowboy Arms Hotel and recording spot. And what struck me about being in that room was the floor-to-ceiling bookcases that he had along all the walls that were just jam-packed with 2-inch reel-to-reel master tapes. And all the names that you and I have been talking about were written on these boxes of these 2-inch master tapes that Jack had up there, of sessions that he had produced up in there. I mean, from Louis Armstrong to Johnny Cash to John Prine, I mean, just name it. They were all listed there. And so in December of that year, we went up into the studio and we started cutting a record together. And we laid down, 14 songs. And in the spring of 2011, we were in the phase where we were starting to mix some things and start to put it together and getting into the final stages of putting this album together. And there was an electrical fire one afternoon, and it burned his entire house and his entire studio to the ground. And I was there that day. I actually raced over to his house that afternoon when I had gotten a text message from someone telling me that his house was on fire. And, you know, his family was there, and his engineer was there, and his confederate was there, and actually John Prine was there.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat in the backyard with Jack and just watched the whole place burn down.
Oh, my goodness.
And watched the firemen crawling all over the place trying to put it out. And it was unbelievably tragic. And you know, I assumed and knew in that moment that, you know, everything we had done together was going to be lost. But to be quite honest, it was the furthest thing from my mind, because it was the least of which was lost in that fire. So many treasures that Jack had collected over the years from some of the truly great, great artists of the American tradition. And so, you know, the next morning, I went back over there, and we were pulling, you know, remnants of things out of the rubble of the studio. And there were several external hard drives that were melted and wet and waterlogged from the fire hoses. And we pulled them all outside, and we put them in a box. And they were all out in this pool house shed sort of in Jack's backyard. And And then I went on and got involved in some other things, started a company called Artist Growth, and you know, started a new journey, and remained very close with Jack, and would stop by his house a couple times a week, and we'd sit on the porch and talk and listen to music. But, you know, the record was something that we sort of felt was taken by the fire.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you
a year later. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we're going to have to take a break. But, yeah, that's a good place to stop, because then we can pick it up after we take this break for commercials, and we'll pick up right there. Okay, Matt?
Perfect.
Okay, don't go away on WGN's Nocturnal Journal.
Family and friends, come gather in. I was standing where the lightning first struck the ground. The rolling waves of thunder rocked me around. I was saved by the power of the rain falling down. So out of the ashes, I'm gonna rise with life.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. That's the title track of the fantastic Out of the Ashes by Nashville singer-songwriter Matt Urmey with John Prine. So pick up the story. I mean, so you thought the tracks were lost.
Yeah, that's right. We thought it was gone, and everything that came about being there for Jack and Eileen, you know, making sure that they were going to be taken care of, and he was, you know, 79 or 80 years old at that point, and you know, just went through a really hard experience.
Yeah, I read a story where you said, yeah, somebody asked him and he was crushed, and he said, what can we do for you? And he asked for a new life or something. This really obviously shook him up.
It was intense. I that day we were sitting in the backyard, and it was a really hard place to be. You know, it was so much was happening. The firemen were crawling over the house, his partner had asked me to run to the drugstore to pick up some refills of his prescriptions because all his medication had burned up in the fire. And so I did that, and I came back, and the press was crawling around trying to get in there and film it and interview him. And so it was real intense and sort of sad and just incredibly sad. And so I just went up to him, you know, in this sort of moment where everything, people had kind of drifted away from him, and I put my hand on his back, and I sat down next to him, and I sort of, you know, not knowing what else to say, I just sat down next to him and said, Jack, can I get you anything? And thinking, you know, maybe he'd want a bottle of water or something. And he just looked at me, and he said, a whole new world. And it was really just, you know, laid the gravity of the situation down, that this man who'd been, you know, making music with the greats for decades and decades, was sitting there watching it all go up in smoke. Not the memories, but the treasures and the tapes and the relics that were the product of all of that work and all those experiences. And so to be a young songwriter who was working, you know, with a hero of mine and just getting to know him, and really, you know, the most amazing thing about working with Jack on this album was the window that I got, the look and the view I got into the history of rock and roll and country music through the stories that he would tell me. And so I was in the midst of going through this life-changing experience of having this elder, this sort of enlightened, wise old elder of the music industry, and, you know, tell me these stories, and I was learning so much, and it was like having my eyes opened every day that I hung out with him. Wow. More and more, and so to watch that happen, you know, to watch that happen to him was something that was incredibly impactful to me, and then it was a year later, maybe a year and a half later, and I had moved on to another project, and was still visiting with Jack regularly, and one day I got a phone call from his engineer, and he said, Matt, you're not going to believe this, but all those external hard drives that we boxed up and pulled out of the rubble of the studio the next morning, we shipped them off to some, you know, data recovery center, and they deconstructed those drives and rebuilt them. And we were able to salvage some stuff, and we got all the raw tracks, the original raw files of your album.
Wow.
And if you want to come back in and go to work on it, you know, we'll rebuild it in Pro Tools and we'll let's do this. And I wasn't able to jump right back on it because I had started Artist Growth and was working on a whole new project at that time. And so it was a few months before we were able to pick it back up, but we did. And we went in the studio, in Sound Emporium, which used to be Jack's Tracks. And we cut a song that Alan Reynolds wrote that Cowboy had published initially called We Must Believe in Magic. And that song had been covered by Crystal Gayle and by Johnny Cash, and Jack himself had done a version of it. And they called it the company song. You know, it was a song about being a dreamer and being willing to go on this journey, and no matter what, at any cost, to believe in magic. And it really was a song that initially had sort of bonded Jack and I, and so we felt it appropriate to do it, and he came in and, you know, sang it with me. And wow. And then several months later, when the studio was rebuilt and the Cowboy Arms Hotel and Recording Spa, you know, version two, this sort of remade studio was up and running again. This is the summer of 2013, or the spring rather. We went back in there and we recorded this song I had written for Jack called Out of the Ashes.
Okay, now we got to stop again. Okay, we got to stop again for the news. I knew this would be good, so I'm going to ask you to stay over the news, okay? For another 15 minutes or so after the news. You can do that, Matt?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I'll hang with you.
Yeah, okay. So don't go away. A fascinating story of Matt Ermey. I also want to talk about all your other things, so we're going to try to squeeze that in. So don't go away, Nocturnal Journal on WGN. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN, and we're here with singer-songwriter Matt Ermey, who is out with a really compelling record called Out of the Ashes, co-produced by the late legendary Cowboy Jack Clement. Matt, how can people find the record?
Well, right now, the record is available on all the, you know, on iTunes, obviously, and all the other streaming services like Pandora and Spotify and iHeartRadio and those places. And there's a run of vinyl being made right now that is going to come out later in the spring or early summer. And so through my website and other, you know, other stores, local record stores, things like that, if vinyl is your thing, you'll be able to pick it up and listen to it that way. But right now it's currently available online, you know, at all the typical places.
And your website is mattmatturmy.com.
That's right.
And,
that's
man,
right.
You were so nice. I have so many questions. I don't want to bump the song, but you did send us an MP3 of Renaissance Rodeo we're going to play here in a minute. I may ask you to set that up. But you were talking about We Must Believe in Magic, so Jack sang along on that. What was that moment like?
Oh, my God, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Just sitting in that room with him and the band that we had and you know, strumming along on and kind of leaning back away from the microphone and watching him on the verses that he sang and the lines he was doing, you know, it was just surreal. And I, you know, actually some great people from Chicago came down and sat in on the session, and they actually helped make that session happen.
Who was that?
Just some friends and some fans that I had met doing house shows and playing up there. And they came down and sat in on the session and, you know, so it was a great day. It was a really, really great day. And Jack's good spirits and man, just the whole experience was just otherworldly for me.
Are you coming this way again? I know we just missed you at Fitzgerald's. I guess you were at Fitzgerald's a few weeks ago, but are you coming up around the Midwest again?
Yeah, absolutely. I should be there probably, you know, end of the summer. I'll be coming back through, and I'm looking forward to it. I love coming to Chicago.
You want to set up, I've got questions, but I want to play Renaissance Rodeo. So do you want to set that up, and then we'll go into the track you sent us? This is from the record. I mean, it's on the record.
Yeah. Renaissance Rodeo was actually a song that was the whole thing that kicked off this whole album. That Cowboy, when we did that first show together, I played this song, and he called me up the next day, and he said, hey, you know, tell you what, I'll produce the record if you bring that band that you had last night, and one of the songs we do is that song called The Renaissance Rodeo. And I said, let's do it, man. And, you know, so that was sort of what the song that sparked the whole project for us. And, you know, I wrote it several years ago during the initial financial crisis. And it was just a song that I wrote about observing what was happening and trying to find a positive, you know, thread that was running through all of the chaos and turmoil that I saw so many people going through at that time.
Okay, here it is, Renaissance Radio on WGN.
Time will blow your mind if you just give it a while. Time will make you cry, scream, shout, and smile. And looking back through history, time has always been tough. So I've been thinking about what it is we're living through, and it seems about the best thing, maybe the only thing I could do, is keep on writing songs and singing them for you. So here we go. When you're waking up, take it real, real slow. Put your hands in the air, bow your head down low, and say, let it roll. Just let it roll. 'Cause God gets up way before you, man. I can just about guarantee she's got more to do. And she's singing, let it roll, just let it roll. Yeah, and some say the devil never sleeps, but that ain't true. He just don't punch the clock when it's time to mess with you. And he's singing, let it roll, you just let it roll. See, the whole wide world is a little spinning globe of a Cadillac, burning up a midnight road. Devil in the trunk, angel in the back seat, God's on the radio with the people in the street. It's a heartbeat away, southbound train, a girl giving birth all alone in the rain. It's a call, a fight, it's a Renaissance rodeo. Yeah, and the people just keep coming, they're coming, and they're going, and the stands in the stadium keep overflowing, and all them poor people on those rafts in the river, well, they're rowing. So if you lose your house or your job or your lover, don't go killing yourself over what you can't recover. You just let it roll, just let it roll. 'Cause there's a lot going on here, ain't got much to do with money, and you work hard to make your own. Don't let them take it from you, honey. Just let it roll. See, the whole wide world is a little spinning globe, a Cadillac burning up a midnight road. Devil in the trunk, angel in the back seat, God's on the radio, but the people in the street. It's a heartbeat away, southbound train, a girl giving birth all alone in the rain. It's a call, a fight, it's a Renaissance rodeo. Yeah, and the people just keep coming, they're coming.
Okay, Renaissance Radio, a girl giving birth all alone in the rain. Are you there, Matt?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I can see where that resonated with Jack.
Yeah, you know, he loved humor and songs, and he loved stuff that was outside of the box. And that was something that him and I were able to connect on. And I tell you, you know, just the sheer gratitude that I have for being able to sit with him and work with him for the short period of time that I got to do it is never ending, you know.
And, boy, I tell you, you got to come back. We've run out of time, but you got to come back and maybe come down to the studio with us. And there's so many more questions I want to ask you. Did you really work at ICU transporting corpse?
I did. Yeah, I did. I did a stint working in the hospital. And, you know, my first day at work, I actually I showed up and they said, hey, you need to go take the patient from room, you know, 703. Down to the basement. And I said, okay. And I went in and I thought I was just going to be, you know, moving the bed with a live patient. And it was actually walked in and it was somebody that had passed away the night before. So it was it was my first time, in that space. And, it was quite a journey having that job. So yeah, we got a lot we could talk about, you know, and poetry and the healing arts and technology. I've had quite a journey and it's still ongoing.
How old are you?
I'm 39 years old.
Yeah, you've had a lot of lives that rolled into one. Now, you were born in New York but raised in Nashville?
That's right, yeah. My parents moved us down to Nashville, Tennessee. My dad took a job. He transferred from NYU to Vanderbilt University Medical Center. And I was a little boy. I was about 4 years old when we moved to Nashville. So that was in the early 80s. So I grew up down south, you know, running around in the woods. But I was raised by a mother and a father who'd spent their entire lives and childhoods and adult lives to that point in Massachusetts, New York State, New York City. So, you know, I got an appreciation and a cultural upbringing in the home that was very much a New York family and a New York outlook, I think. Our surroundings were the middle of the South and the Bible Belt in the early 80s in Nashville. You know, I mean, Johnny Cash and those guys are still very active, and Jack working in the 80s and all through the 90s as well. So it was wild to come back as a young man and sort of rediscover Nashville through Jack's eyes, working with him and making a record and learn about the town I grew up in.
I was excited about talking to you. I was thinking about you, and I thought about this interview last night. I saw the Mavericks, and I was thinking about – I've been coming to Nashville since about the time you got there, the mid-'80s. I remember one time I was interviewing Raul at a sandwich shop, and Harlan Howard walked up, you know, and then they – you know, I think it was one of the first times Raul met Harlan Howard and stuff, and they just started talking. I don't know if they ever collaborated, but does stuff like that still happen there? I mean, Nashville's grown so much. Do you still bump into people and potential collaborators and stuff to feed your stuff off of?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely. And at all levels. You know, I mean, it has grown a lot, and it's changed a lot, and it's expanding every day. I mean, it's growing exponentially, and it's definitely, you know, orders of magnitude beyond what it was when I was growing up. But there's still this community, and the music community in Nashville, as much as it's grown, is still really connected, and you absolutely bump into people at coffee shops or at clubs or at bars or in studios, and people make introductions, and it's still very, very friendly, and that's something that's beautiful about Nashville, and people collaborate a lot, and they co-write, and they go in the studio, and they do things, and there's a real commitment to creativity and to the song. You know, that's something that really keeps me there, and I love it. It's this commitment to the song, and people want to write great songs, record great songs, and make it happen. And Jack was, you know, and at least in my world, and I know in the world of many others, he was part of the central energy force of that. You know, and I can say that, you know, the amount of gratitude that I have for that experience that I got, you know, but as long as my heart's beating and I'm drawing breath, I will absolutely be doing everything in my power as a songwriter and an artist to honor all of that has come before me from great artists like Jack and like John Prine and so many others, and trying so much just to continue to carry that torch and keep those legacies and those stories being told, you know, to whatever degree I can contribute to that. And I just love it. You know, it's such a special thing.
Okay. Well, thanks so much. This is a fascinating story. It's a great musical story, and it's a great human story. And you can get Out of the Ashes from Matt Ermey at check out his website, mattermey.com. You're on Twitter, twitter.com/MattErmey. That's two T's, right?
That's right, MATTURMY. Twitter, Facebook, all those places. Yeah. Find me, you know, send me a message. I'll get back in touch with you. And thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed talking with you, and play some Cowboy Jack.
Yeah, let's stay in touch. I get down to Nashville a lot. My brother lives down there, so let's stay in touch.
I'd love that, yeah. Okay.